Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together again. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, come and just use these simple words of mine to your honor and to your glory, Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to see you all here this afternoon, including some new faces to me here at least. Andrew tells me, Paul, I need to make an appointment to see you soon. All right. So, praise the Lord. It's Pentecost, as has already been said. And it's my responsibility and my privilege to talk about that, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is full of the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. It's not just in the New Testament. It's right through the whole of the Bible. And because of that, I wondered, well, where should I start? Where should I start to talk about the Holy Spirit? I could start with the disciples, and I think I'm going to talk about the disciples. They, as we are, were sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of God. And they, like we, have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. It's the gift of God. It's a power that is available to all of us. We have that power within us, but as believers, we can move mountains. Praise God. And He is our comforter. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, He's able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That power, that Holy Spirit that works within us, gives us the power. We can do the things that Jesus did and more besides, he says, because of the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit that is within us. He indwells each one of us. What a privilege that is. Each one of us who love the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And we need to use that Spirit. We don't need to leave it lying dormant. We don't just want to accept it, take it, and leave it sitting there and thinking, yes, the Holy Spirit is in me. No, we need to stir it up. We need to pour it out into the world. We need to sow the seeds that was mentioned before. And we need to point people to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His grace. So today is Pentecost. Actually, every day for us is Pentecost. Not just one Sunday in the year. It's every day for us. But this day is 50 days after Easter. 50 days after the Passover. And actually the word Pentecost means 50. And it was 50 days after the crucifixion, 10 days after Jesus ascended up into glory, that the disciples were together in an upper room. I think they might have locked the door. I think they might have been a wee bit frightened. And they were praying. Let's read about it. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to Acts, as you would have expected. But we're going to start in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was, and I'm going to say is, alive. Amen. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, whilst he was eating with them, praise the Lord for that, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Here is the promise that Jesus made, not just to the disciples of that time, but to us, that the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, would come, and that they and us are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think for one moment that at that time the disciples understood what Jesus was talking about. I'll prove that in a moment or two. They failed at that time to understand the fullness of Jesus. I'm booming. That's all right. This is a message to boom about. That doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. The disciples were still wondering what it's all about. You know, the disciples, they'd been with Jesus. They'd seen his miracles. They'd seen all the works that he had done. They had been there at his death, at that crucifixion. They had seen him come back to life. They'd spoken with him. We've just read they ate with him. And yet they still hadn't got it. They hadn't twigged what it was all about. So let's go back to Acts chapter 1 and now verse 6. And they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set down by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking up, he was lifted up into the clouds, taken out of their sight. We're wondering where heaven was. It's definitely up. It's definitely up. But just note the last words that Jesus said to the disciples. You will receive power. Go and use it. Be my witnesses across the whole of the world. So you see, the disciples were asking Jesus, even then, are you going to restore Israel? Are you going to get rid of these Romans? Are you going to move them on and set us free? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Well, he will. Despite all the teachings and the miracles, seeing Jesus and the many infallible proofs that Jesus was and is alive, they still needed to be empowered. They were not yet empowered. They needed that to help their full understanding. And of course, Jesus, God, will restore his kingdom. And I'm going to be there.
Amen.
You're going to be there. Amen. Praise God. And we'll see him rule in majesty. But look at verse 7. It will be in God's time, not in our time, but in God's time. And that will be the right time. And only he knows when that time will be. But Jesus gave that magnificent promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Empowered to be witnesses across and all over the world, to tell of the redeeming love of Jesus and to invite all who would believe in him to become disciples of Jesus, citizens of heaven. Now, whilst you've got your Bibles open, just turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark Mark chapter 16. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Even those that were with Jesus, they still doubted. They still doubted, because the Holy Spirit was yet to come. And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lots of gifts mentioned there. Fantastic. Not just for them, disciples, but for us too. Some folks will say, you know, oh, that Holy Spirit stuff, it was for back then. That's not right. Not right. It's for even more, I think, for today, in the world that we're living in. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working in them and confirming the word and signs that were following.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus told his disciples that they would go in power, that they would see signs, they would see miracles, and that people would come to know God. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit working through them.
Amen.
Not because of what they were doing or what they were saying, but what the Holy Spirit was saying through them. The disciples needed the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them and to enlighten them, to give them understanding, to give them courage, to give them power, so that they could talk about the saving grace of Jesus. If you think about the life of Jesus, he was in the temple, and Luke chapter 4 records that he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to restore sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And then he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he was talking about himself, and that he too needed the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within him.
Yeah.
As he then was empowered to go and preach and eventually to die, praise God, to be risen again in 3 days' time, even Jesus identified his need for the Holy Spirit to be on him, to anoint his ministry. And yet the people who heard him that day said, who is this bloke? Who is he? He's just Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. What is he talking about? And they drove him out. They drove him out, not believing. Now, of course, we know that Jesus went on to fulfill his ministry in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And his work was done, and because of the work that he did, we have a route to salvation.
Amen.
So we know that Jesus had the Holy Spirit within him. We know that the disciples needed the Holy Spirit within them, because without that they were confused.
Yeah.
They didn't know where to go or what to do. How much more then do we, yes, exactly, need the power of the Holy Spirit within us, so that we can both praise God through the Holy Spirit and also use the Holy Spirit as we stand before the world as disciples to tell them of the love of Jesus. So if you can flick back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Just at verse 9 where we were, after he said this, he was taken up before the very eyes into a cloud, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. This is a couple of times now that the disciples have had men in white stand before them telling them what to do. You'd have thought they'd have got the message. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. So don't stand there gaping. Get up and go. Get up and go. Get to work. That was the message that the two angels brought to the disciples. I think they were still confused. I think they didn't know what to do. They couldn't comprehend the magnitude of what was being said to them, nor of what had happened, nor of what they'd just seen, nor what the future would hold for them. Praise God, Jesus went up into heaven and is interceding for you and for me there today. Praise God for that. The best barrister in town never loses a case. Yeah, he's there interceding for us. Praise his name. And praise God that now the Holy Spirit would come and empower the disciples and empowers us. And they, the disciples, in a few days' time, they would begin to understand. In the meantime, they were confused. In the meantime, they were disorientated, feeling isolated, probably afraid. What are these Romans going to do to us now? Never mind the Romans, what are the Pharisees and the Sadducees going to do with us now? They were scared stiff. If ever there's a demonstration that we need the power of the Holy Spirit, it was what happened with the disciples from that point of the ascension to the point where they received the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us that they went into an upper room, 120 of them, I think there were, not just the 12. Doesn't say that they prayed, but I guess that they were praying for God to show them what to do, to guide them, to lead them, to strengthen them, because they felt lost. So chapter 2 of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord. Important two words, those, one accord. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Amen. Praise God. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, as it sat on each of them. The Holy Spirit had come. Praise God. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit had come in his fullness. Different from Old Testament times when a few selected people received the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, praise God, is on general release. It's on general release for all who want to believe in Jesus. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, when this news broke, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, the power of God. And they were amazed and marveled. Behold, are these not Galileans? That was quite a judgmental comment, by the way, because he's saying, these blokes are not educated blokes. They're just poor blokes from Sheffield. From Sheffield? No, from Galilee. Yeah, from Galilee. And yet we can hear, not Barnsley either, Rob. No, not Barnsley either. And we can hear every one of us in our own tongue, the tongue that was ours at the point of our birth. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Jews, and so on. Cretans, Arabians, we hear in our own tongue the works of God. And they were all amazed. Yet they doubted. They were amazed. They heard this in their own language, Peter speaking to them. What does this mean? Can you believe it? Some of them mocked and said, oh, they're drunk. They're full of wine. What difference would the wine have made? That wouldn't have got them talking in different languages. It probably got them talking in double Dutch. That's the only language that would have got out of them then. Not new wine. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. For we're not drunk, as you suppose. Too early in the morning for that. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. They were empowered. They weren't drunk. You can tell they were empowered because they were out talking. Previously, they were locked in their room. Now, let's go for it. Let's get out there and tell the world. This was what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Well, what did the prophet Joel say? Well, some 850 odd years or whatever it was, many years before, Joel said, and Peter quotes, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream, shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm still seeing visions, praise God. I've not got to the dream stage yet. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The power of the Holy Spirit had come upon them. So now they knew, the disciples and the people that they were talking to. Things had been clarified in their mind. They knew now that Jesus hadn't come to defeat the Romans. Jesus had come to save the world, to defeat sin, death, and hell. What a different task that was. No longer were they confused, no longer were they earth-centered, thinking about what's happening to them locally. No longer were they worried about the Romans. Now they were about the love, the grace of Jesus, and what that could do for the whole world. Now I believe that the experience of the disciples is slightly different from the experience that we have. Jesus ascended and told them to wait. And they had to wait 10 days. I don't know why it was 10 days, but never mind, it was 10 days. It made the 50. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Whereas when we believe, when we take Jesus, at that point, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells us from that point. We don't have to wait. We believe, We're indwelled, we're empowered. And he is ready to guide us and help us with our witness day by day. From day one, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, many people talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's said to me very recently by somebody in my car that the Holy Spirit is about speaking in tongues. It's about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's not only about speaking in tongues. It's about being empowered. And the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is much greater, much wider, much deeper, much fuller than speaking in tongues. Yes, that is important, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But it is about the empowerment that is in you, through which you too can go into the world and preach the gospel. And as we have that gift of the Holy Spirit within us, we need to stir it up. We need to get it moving. We don't want to leave it dormant in our souls, in our spirits, in our lives, in our minds. We need to stir it up and use it. 2 Timothy 1 says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So they weren't mad. They are people with a sound mind. They were full of power, and the important one for me is they were full of love. No need to be fearful. We have the power of God within us. We have the love of God. We are also of a sound mind. When people hear us talking, speaking in tongues, they say they're mad. We're not. It's the power of God. And it's the power of God that is available to us. And we need to let it spill out of us into the world. Now the fun bit. My little demonstration. Are you ready for this, Rob? Hey, bated breath. So this is you or me. Not much in there. Empty. Nothing happening. And that's what we're like before we come to the Lord. We're just empty vessels. And then we come to know the Lord. And he pours out his Holy Spirit into us. There goes, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm blessed. I've received the Holy Spirit. Just watch it. What's it going to do? What's it doing? Rob, what's it doing? It stood. It's not doing much there then, is it? It's definitely in you now. You can see it. Look. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. It's there. Well, let's stir it up. Oh, praise God, I'm blessed again. We're stirring up the Holy Spirit within us. How wonderful is that? We come to the... Say again? Still nothing happening. Yeah, still nothing happening. It's settled again. The Holy Spirit is definitely in you, hand. Yes, it's there, you can see it. I'm not going to drink it, I don't think it would be very nice. But the Holy Spirit is there, you can see it. It's not doing anything. You've got to pour it into the world.
Amen.
Pour it out into the world. Yeah. Then it'll have some use. Then it's going to do something. Oh, fill me anew. What did we sing? Fill me anew. We go back to the source. We can get some more infilling over and over and over again. Come on, don't let it sit there. It's going to bear fruit. Use it in the world to tell of the gospel of Jesus.
Amen.
Use it. And we can go back. And we can be filled again. And filled again and filled again. Now here's the important bit. This is where I get my hands wet. It bears fruit. Hallelujah. I bought these apples yesterday. It bears fruit. It's not going to be wasted. It's going to bear fruit. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. It's all right. Okay. Thank you. Don't be pinching my apples. There's an orange in there as well. You know, I was tempted to put some grapes in there, but I thought they might go a bit soggy. A nice little example, I think. Just a nice little story to tell you. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, but don't leave it just stagnant within you. Use it. You're empowered to use it. And God says, go. Jesus said, go. Use it. Tell the world. Tell the world. Take my apples and oranges. Bear fruit. Excuse me. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I think they are boundless. You will read several of them in Corinthians. Excuse me. You will read of several gifts of empowerment. And it starts, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it starts with empowerment. It doesn't start with speaking in tongues, as important as that is. And then it talks about wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpreting of tongues. Now, those nine gifts are important and we should claim them and use them. But I don't think for one minute that that's the list. We're not going to limit God to a list of nine.
No.
There might be 109, 1,009.
Yeah.
Whatever those gifts are, we should use them. Wherever your talents are, they are God-given, Holy Spirit gifts.
Yeah.
They help us to worship God and to praise Him. And they help us to spread the word and to share the word with others who need to know and hear the fullness of God's message. Fantastic gifts that empowers our life, empowers the journey that we're going through, and we should use them.
Amen.
All of them. However, Paul writes a big but. He extols the gifts of the Spirit, but he says, you may have all these gifts, but if you do not have love, you're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 1 through 3. You need to have love. The important gift of the Spirit, demonstrated, I think, in all of them, is the love of God. And we know God is love. God is love. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that there will be difficult times in the last days. Difficult times. We can see them, can't we? We can see them. We're even seeing the church compromising on the beliefs that actually should be four square on the gospel, on the Bible, but they're compromising. And we see things like selfishness, lovers of money, pride, arrogance, lovers of pleasure rather than of God, and much, much more. And it is the exclusion of God and the absence of the Holy Spirit that's causing all these problems in the world. Ken and I were talking about this last week. What is causing these problems in the world? It's sin. It's the absence of God, the lack of God's love being accepted in the world that is freely on offer to all. We also have faith, hope, and love, all great gifts, great attributes, given by the Spirit of God. But the world tells us, the Word tells us, that the greatest of these is love. The greatest is love. Start with love, and all those others will follow on. If you do not have love, well, you haven't got to the starting point. That's where you need to be. And remember, the theme that I've said all the way through is that you already have the indwelling Spirit of God. He's already within you. Stir it up. He is within you. He's waiting for you to use him. Grace mentioned this on Wednesday when she spoke on Romans 8. And interestingly, as we drove home, David and I said, if you could only have one chapter out of the whole Bible, probably be Romans 8. Fantastic. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life. Amen. That's what gives us life. Amen. And in Corinthians it says, the Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit dwells in you. Amen. And in me. Amen. Praise God. We have that Spirit within us. How privileged we are. Absolutely. How can we do anything? Yeah, the disciples were stuck, weren't they? They could do nothing. They locked themselves in a room, could do nothing. But with the Spirit of God, they went out, and Peter's first message, 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. Now remember an important point. You're children of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within you, and therefore your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. Important in terms of how you live your life, how you present yourself to other people, what you do, where you go. Remember, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Live your life accordingly. Don't let it slip. Stand firm. And let that Holy Spirit bubble up and out into the world. And when they were gathered together, the place they were in was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. They weren't bold before. They were scaredy cats before. Praise the Lord. They were bold, and they went out and they spoke, and everybody heard in their own language. Do you remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus? He was blinded. And Ananias went to Paul to restore his sight. That had to happen before Paul could go and be probably one of the most, if not the most, influential evangelist of all time. But Ananias said, to receive your sight and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, his sight was restored, but he had to be empowered before he could start his ministry. So Jesus needed to have the Holy Spirit. The disciples needed to have the Holy Spirit. Paul needed to have the Holy Spirit. I, you, we need the Holy Spirit. And the starting point is love. And what do we get? The disciples in Acts 13, verse 52, I think it is, the disciples were filled with joy.
Yeah.
It brings joy. We're not a miserable bunch.
No.
We're not. We're a peculiar bunch. That's all right. Special. Yeah, Rob, you're a peculiar one. Special, mate. You're a special. That's what it means. And you know, we could go on, couldn't we? We could go on quoting scripture after scripture about the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God on general release for us all now, not just one or two people. The Holy Spirit is God's power, His guidance. Here is just one more, my last text. Surprisingly, from the Old Testament. It's Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, again hundreds of years before Pentecost. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's where the power comes from. Not by what you can do in your might, not what you can do with your power, your intellect, but only through and by the Spirit of God. That's how we're empowered. That's how we can go into the world. That's how we will know what we say as you walk your dog, talking to people, as you often do, telling them of Jesus. Those words will be the words that the Holy Spirit gives you to share. They will be the right words. Those words encapsulate it all for me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. There is no power to match it. There are no other gods, small g. In fact, I don't know of a living God, small g. There isn't one. Only we have a living God.
Amen.
There's no earthly wisdom, no scientific knowledge that can match the glorious power of the Spirit of God.
No.
And you know, the Spirit joins us together as a family.
Amen.
Remember, we said they were all together with one accord, all looking to Jesus, seeking His face. The Spirit joins us together, one body in Christ Jesus. And that is true unity. We hear a lot about the unity of the church. What we want is unity in God.
Amen.
Unity through the Holy Spirit. True, undefeatable strength. And it is the abiding, indwelling Savior that will be our comforter and our powerhouse. That's what we've got. So, finally, remember, we can do nothing in and of ourselves. We believe and we know we have the Holy Spirit in us. Stir that gift up.
Amen.
Use that power.
Amen.
We can move molehills?
Mountains.
Yeah, we can move mountains. And why? Because God is with us. Who can defeat us? Who can defeat us? Nothing. Nobody. No one. When was it? A couple of days ago we were talking about God even knows the number of hairs, the reducing numbers of hairs on my head. It was Andrew, I think. He doesn't have that problem. And yet He flung the stars in place. He knows that macro information and that micro information. He knows you through and through. And nothing can defeat Him.
No.
The world says, why does God let these things happen? You know, the world is born into sin and God gives us the root out. And yet people are blaming God. It's God who gives us the root out. So friends, seek, use and enjoy that gift that is within you, the Holy Spirit. Use it in your daily life. first and foremost, seek and use the Holy Spirit, God's love. That's where to start, and the rest will follow. Amen.